many of those. Southwest Scotland seeing some more persistent rain coming in, but for eastern Scotland and for Northern Ireland, a few sunny intervals. Temperatures in the brighter spots, perhaps up to the mid-teens at best. But through the rest of the week, well, I'm afraid north and northeasterly winds predominating across much of the UK. So eastern areas particularly chilly, cloudy, some rain at times. Western parts, though, could well see some drier, brighter weather. And in the sunshine, you might just persuade yourself that summer's on the way as temperatures get up to the high teens at best. That's the forecast. Now back to Alan Smith.
Thanks, Peter. Now on Radio 4, our new book of the week. In The North and Almost Everything in It, the acclaimed music journalist Paul Morley looks at the North and what it means to be a Northerner. In a mix of memoir, history and popular culture, Paul returns to the grey pavements of his youth as well as the iconic voices of his past. Additional readings are by Paul Hilton.
I found my love by the gasworks croft. Dreamed a dream by the old canal.
This is the first step, the first brick, the first drop of rain. There is the mountain to climb, the breathtaking viaduct to cross, the enterprise to explain.
Dirty old town, dirty old town.
Look at the vast 19th century mill, still standing, scrubbed nude, exposed to a time and economy it wasn't built for, free of smoke and noise and cloggy, clattering Gothic commotion, remade, remaindered, dolled up as a museum, a titanic souvenir, a loft dwelling, its soul long gone.
Dirty old town, dirty old town.
Here is the North. This is where it lies, where it belongs, full of itself. High up above everything else, surrounded by everything that isn't the North. This is the story of how I found the North as a young boy born in 1957, the same year that L.S. Lowry painted Man Lying on a Wall, that Harold Pinter mentioned an Eccles cake in The Dumb Waiter, that Lennon met McCartney. And then as a man, over 50 years later, remembering when I was a young boy who spent a lot of time walking around from one centre of attention to another because the streets were irresistible. This is where I find what I am looking for, the North and where it begins. This is the next step, and the rain starts to fall like it means it.
One day the singer Morrissey will say in an interview, "You're southern, you wouldn't understand. When you're northern forever, and you're instilled with a certain feel for life that you can't get rid of, you just can't." And he will write a song called Cemetery Gates about meeting the artist Linda Stirling in 1976.
So we go inside and we gravely read the stones, all those people, all those lives.
L.S. Lowry died of pneumonia in 1976. When I was young, I did not see the beauty of the Manchester streets. I used to go to the country painting landscapes and the like. Then one day I saw it. Suddenly I saw the beauty of the streets and the crowds.
Where does the North begin? Is often the first question asked when the idea of the North of England comes up. The North, a definite territory, a certain reality, an assorted spread of times and spaces pulled together, charged with feeling, a famous base for outsiders and strivers, beggars and visionaries, zealots and loafers, jokers and poets. Somewhere solid, authentic, which you can think about and feel you understand. The North begins over the border, where one thing becomes another thing. I found the North by looking, sometimes out of the window of a train or of a car, past some stubborn, colossal buildings that seem to have been around for centuries, and others glassier and slighter, which seem to have impetuously popped up and might burst at any moment. Sometimes I was walking in the footsteps of others, opening up their own meanings and directions, They found a north which was an essential part of the classic, endlessly discussed north-south divide. Deprived, ugly, industrial north. Prosperous, lovely, arrogant south. Which has become a more or less permanent feature of the standardised national story.
Alan Bennett, born in Leeds, 1934. A word about what I always consider rather a dubious role, namely a northern writer. Northern writers like to have it both ways. They set their achievements against the squalor or the imagined squalor of their origins and gain points for transcendence, while at the same time asserting that somehow northern life is truer and in some undefined way more honest than a life of southern comfort. Look, we've come through, is the message. But I can't quite see why a childhood in the industrial north is less conducive to writing or whatever than a childhood in Peterborough or Wimbledon or wherever. I mean, it's quite true, if you're born in Barnsley and set your sights on becoming Virginia Woolf, it's not going to be roses all the way.
I found the north through what I was hearing or remembering or checking or exaggerating, by waiting on a platform, catching a bus, walking into a shop, talking to a stranger, arguing a point, by seeing a northern football team formed in the 19th century win international tournaments like a continental conquering force, or tumble down into bleak non-league status, as though the very town it represented had shrunk in size and lost its dignity.
In 1967, Philip Larkin reflected, "Sometimes I think I shall never leave Hull. I'm not even turning into a regional poet with his clay pipe and acknowledged corner in the snug of the Cat and Fuddle. Just an anonymous figure whom people will dimly remember seeing when the evening paper says, 'Hull man dies.'" The same year he wrote Annus Mirabilis.
Sexual intercourse began in 1963, which was rather late for me, between the end of the Chatterley Ban and the Beatles' first LP.
The North, all wrapped up and firmly in its place, is a combination of nostalgia and obedience to the notion that the North is summed up by a cloth cap, an Eccles cake, a banging tune, a witty catchphrase, a no-nonsense hard man, a once-vital political struggle, a stick of rock, a vast ocean of coal under the ground, a stagnant canal, the careful brick detailing on an everyday railway tunnel, a comedy double act, an outside toilet, a rags-to-riches story, a situation comedy. Ghosts forever rehearsing the same futile rigmarole. A smoking chimney in a pre-clean air act sky.
German-born writer W.G. Sebald moved to Manchester in 1966. In his book, The Emigrants, Sebald's narrator arrived in the city by plane. A blanket of fog that had risen out of the marshy plains that reached as far as the Irish Sea had covered the city, built of countless bricks and inhabited by millions of souls, dead and alive. As we drove in among the dark ravines between brick buildings, it turned out that even there, in the heart of the city, not a soul was to be seen. One might have supposed that the city had long been deserted and was left now as a necropolis or mausoleum.
But there is another North, one that might perhaps be a little truer, to a sense of how the North actually came to be so fixed, even as it was resisting being fixed. A North that routinely emerges from the geography, the weather, the landscape, the humour and the settled patterns of behaviour, but a North that also emerges from the shadows as something that contains such tradition and militancy, brilliance and persistence, acceptance and slyness, dirt and glamour. And from the fact that, in the end, the North is made up of lots of different Norths, all of them containing their own invisible North. Perhaps all that submerged, simmering tension between one coast and the other, between one county and another, between this city and that city, that valley and this gorge, village versus village, neighbour against neighbour, It's all compressed into a tart, brittle togetherness, connected only to the northerner's shared position of not being in the south. The beauty of the north is that it's all about difference. And this difference from the south, from those close by, is loudly, boldly, excessively, romantically, and sometimes subtly represented through the walk and talk that the classic northerner uses, even when it appears to confirm and clarify the cold, simple, and undermining stereotyping that the northerner traditionally and yet radically despises.
Coronation Street was reluctantly given a six-week trial by Granada TV and first broadcast on the 9th of December 1960. Creator Tony Warren said, "Northerners have an enormous curiosity about everything. They'll also tell their life story as long as the listener is prepared to do the same." The new soap opera eventually appealed on a number of fronts. It harked back to a friendlier time when everyone knew their neighbours, but also connected to a newly discovered northern cool. It was said to be an eye-opener for middle-class viewers as to how the other half lived.
I lived in a district at the far north easterly edge of Stockport, named, it seemed to me without a care in the world, Reddish, which was too small to be called a town and too big to be called a village. I didn't think about being a northerner. I was not aware of the southerner as a category, certainly not as any sort of enemy, not knowingly accumulating and cherishing exclusively northern heroes, not admiring the view around me that let me glimpse, perhaps with pride, hundreds of years of northern spirit, not planning on continuing various northern traditions that I now imagine I could hear in the voices and see in the faces of those who lived around me. I did not notice at the time that I was being worked on as I walked around the small fragment of the north where I had landed, influenced by something I don't want to say was a something in the air, a floating of words into the mental air, an elaborate entwining of history actively seeping into me, penetrating my mind, and even coating my tongue with something that affected how I talked.
W.H. Auden does not fit. Auden is no gentleman. Auden does not write or exist by any of the codes, by the Bloomsbury rules, by the Hampstead rules, by the Oxford, the Cambridge, or the Russell Square rules. Poet Geoffrey Grigson, 1969.
For me, before there was a wider world and wider spaces, and the thought of something out there, there was Reddish. And it's where I feel I came to life. Actually, there was North Reddish. South Reddish was in the direction of Stockport, and therefore in the direction of the big mucky town, and in the direction of where things were happening, at least locally. In the direction of main roads and big bus squares and stations that could take you all over the north, and even to the south. When Morrissey, whose songs tell very evocative stories about the combination of battered cobbles, magical Manchester rain, shady inner city mystery and enchanting but gloomy and even dubious country in the middle distance, when he heard that I grew up in Reddish, he was immediately keen to establish that I was not from South Reddish, which did not quite have the same credentials as North Reddish in terms of establishing unstained, honest-to-goodness northernness. The thought of South Reddish caused his lip to curl in distaste, perhaps purely because of the word South, perhaps because he knew more than anyone that nothing had ever happened in South Reddish, and nothing ever would. And if it ever did, how would you ever know?
Tomorrow it's The Dark Side of Growing Up in the North as Paul Morley and Paul Hilton continue reading The North and Almost Everything in It. It was abridged by Viv Beebe and produced by Justine Willett. This is BBC Radio 4. It's 12 minutes to 1. Now here's the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency. A 0015 today, Tuesday the 28th of May. There are warnings of gales in Shannon and Rockall. The general synopsis at 1800. Low Bailey, 980, expected Rockall, 1002 by 1800 Tuesday. New low expected Southern England, 999 by same time. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira, 40s. Southeast, backing northeast, 4 or 5. Showers, fog patches. Moderate or good, occasionally very poor. Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger. Southeast, backing northeast, 4 or 5. Showers, fog patches later, moderate or good, occasionally very poor later. Fisher, German Bight. Southeast, 3 or 4, backing